You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. I got an interesting email yesterday afternoon. It said this: "Dude, the news is killing me. What do I do?" You got to disconnect from it. There's only so much of that garbage you can watch. Yeah. Seriously, if you like to read the news, it's a huge challenge to not have it affect you. So what do you do? You unplug from it. Yeah, straight up. Because the people that create it and the people that sustain it, their agenda is their agenda is to burn it down. So, yeah, they're not stopping. It's their business. It keeps them all employed, keeps them making money. So, I thought it was interesting because I get that email on a more frequent basis now. Hey, got any advice? Stuff's killing me. Genuinely causing me anxiety. Which is kind of interesting, and I think it is the whole we all have smartphones, and they're with us all the time, and so you can access that stuff. You have news alerts and things like that, and coping mechanism. You can't be immersed in it all the time, from the stuff of the president, the craziness that constantly surrounds him, to the 24/7 news cycle that is, pick one, Afghanistan, Iraq, ISIS, Syria, China, North Korea. North Korea, like, where did they go? So, anyway. Yeah, and so I would recommend that to you. You take it in small doses. And otherwise, I think, and I go through cycles of this kind of stuff, the ebb and flow that I feel about our nation, and is the United States up to being the leader of the free world? Does the United States want to do it anymore? And what happens when it's not? You know, what happens when the United States, excuse me, is just another country, which it certainly has not been. You know, since I was a kid, it's always been a special place. and it stands for things that nobody else stands for. So, I find it, I guess I find that distressing, and I'm not sure why. Why can't the United States just be another country? We were up until World War II. There was other nations that were leading their parade, and we were fine to be ourselves over here across the pond and all that. But the events of the second half of the mid and the second half of the 20th century vaulted the United States by, you know, it's interesting, historically unique circumstances into a role of leadership on the planet. And there we still sit. And having dealt with our former rival, and that is the Soviet Union, watching its demise after, 50, 60 years of the Cold War, now its ugly little cousin seeks to kind of restore some of that. For the glory of greater Russia. But I don't think that, you know, the ugly little cousin can't be successful in that, because it doesn't have the ass to do it. So, but you look at, you know, the forces that swirl around the world. And I guess it's my conclusion that what we've neglected our alliances, we've neglected, and the way I think democracies operate, you see space between them, in terms of economically. So, and then, what happens when there's that kind of space in an alliance? They don't devote as much to defense. They say, wah, 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 why do I need to do that? And then we go down the road to learning the lessons that history has taught us before, and that is, if you think you're going to guarantee peace through weakness, you are wrong. That if you go down the road to that folly, you will be forced to make another blood installment payment to relearn that lesson. And so it goes. So good morning to you on a Tuesday. Yesterday we kind of did reaction relative to the whole Syria thing and tried to turn the kaleidoscope around. So today I want you to hear a little bit more of Ryan Crocker, who I would tell you is one of the most experienced Americans in the region. And we've got issues in Syria. Some of them, unavoidable, and some of them, you know, that we have helped create. So where does the United States go in the future? Again, I think, to me anyway, so we're gonna, after we look at the news, you're gonna hear from Ryan Crocker. I wanna play some of an interview that Roger Turner did with the Brookings Institute. And I think some of the things that Roger talks about in the interview are important. How do we sustain an effort in Afghanistan and not have Americans killed, where we actually do advise and we do mentor and we do train? But, you know, he makes some really important points about that mission and how it has to be done, because if you do the fighting for them, you'll create a dependence that you don't want to create. So in your zealousness to find victory and to see progress, you ultimately exchange short-term rewards for longer-term benefits, and that is the longer-term development of them as a force. So that there's an art to that. There's also, for domestic consumption here in the United States, there's also an intolerance of casualties with that mission, with any mission, really. here in the United States. So I want to play. I don't know that we'll do it today because I want to get to Ryan Crocker, but we'll focus a little bit more on education in Syria. So we'll do that today. Not the missile attack that went on over the weekend, but what the last couple of weeks we've kind of taken a more of a look at Syria because again, what will happen there? All right, what will happen there is the Israelis and the Iranians are going to fight. There's no doubt that it'll happen. If the current course is maintained, you're going to see another war in the Middle East that will, and I want to, I guess, to kind of tee it up. I want to read. Here it is. I kind of circled this, the reading over the weekend. And so this is I've had this bouncing around in my head. It's from an article that I talked about yesterday called Syria Reaping the Storm Obama Sowed. But as tragic as the wholesale slaughter of civilians by Assad, once considered a reformer, there are many other grave, more strategic ramifications of the now wildly discredited Obama doctrine. The failure to assess the true nature of the threat ISIS posed in Iraq allowed the civil war there to spill over into Syria, compounding the carnage there. Okay, the civil war in Syria started with the Arab Spring, right? Which was younger people in the streets saying, "We want more." Okay? The article goes on. The uncontrolled escalation of fighting and the absence of any U.S. initiative to rein in Assad's brutality led to massive flows of refugees fleeing into Turkey and from there into Europe, precipitating massive socio-cultural tensions across the continent and threatening to undermine much of the domestic societal fabric there. Moreover, much like nature, politics abhors a vacuum. So when U.S. reticence created a power vacuum in Syria, it was Putin and the Ayatollahs in Iran who were only too eager to fill it. But if surrendering U.S. primacy in the region to Russia was the result of U.S. passivity and inaction, the intrusion of Iran into Syria and the establishment of an ominous military presence there, together with the threat of a Shiite land bridge linking Iran to the Mediterranean coast, can very definitely be attributed to ill-conceived, active American policy. And the article goes on to talk about the nuclear deal, just when sanctions were really hurting Iran, forcing them to come deal, that we cut them a deal and injected the money that you see currently being used, and I won't read all of it, but the money that you see currently being used in Yemen against the Saudis and the money that has been used to finance the military expansion of Iran's Republican Guards into Syria came from, that's right, assets unfroze by the Obama administration. So, and who's going to pay for that? So, the question is, what's next? Is it possible for America to get it right? Because the Russians won't. I mean, it's their history around the world. And the population of Syria is Sunni. So it's certainly troubling, challenging. And then the next, when you put it together and you begin to outline solutions, one of the biggest issues that you see is the whole issue of the Kurds. The Kurds have been, you know, a great ally of the United States in Iraq, first of all. And in Syria, who did the United States partner with? Well, you're going to hear acronyms like YPP, PPK, which don't mean a lot to most Americans. But they are Turkish Kurds, Syrian Kurds that have been partners in this that are the sworn enemies of Turkey. So this swirling tempest, how do you get your hands on it? So anyway, so all that is kind of rolled into what's going on in Syria. How do you make sense of it? How do you slow it down? What does the United States do? And I will tell you what, I think it's nonsensical for the President of the United States to say our troops are coming home as quick as they can. Leaving the Russians and the Iranians a free hand there. And I don't think I think if you watch the way he operates, right, he throws that kind of stuff out there. And then he begins the process of negotiation, right? We're looking to reenter the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. What? Yeah. All of that. And so we'll talk about that kind of stuff today. So on the 17th day of April, tax day here in the United States, good morning to you. And the United States Marine Corps Band makes it officially official. This is dedicated to honorary Marine Ryan Crocker, ambassador type, who's spent his whole life in the Middle East, and who's hoping that people listen to some of the things he has to say, and that we can be a component of a more stable Syria. And what that looks like, I'm not exactly sure.
Our flag comes through to America. my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Email. Mac, I vote no on Syria. If it means more troops, I vote no. That part of the world has been screwed up forever. It was folly to go there in the first place other than a destruction mission in Afghanistan. I know we've been a world leader, but even world leaders have to know their limits. We found those out in Vietnam. Watching that PBS documentary showed the error of our ways over and over and over again. I say give it to the Russians and let them get caught in another quagmire there. It already seems that Putin is in so deep, he can't get himself out of there. All right. We'll check the weather. I don't know that I disagree relative to U.S. troops. I don't know that that's the solution. Currently, cloudy and 43 in Quantico. East Coast still has weather around a freeze watch. Yeah, in Quantico. A small craft advisory and a local pollen alert. Yeah, all rolled in to the weather in Quantico. Cloudy and 43 right now. Camp Lejeune has sunny and 49. They have a small craft advisory, so if you're getting ready to get your boat out, turn your NOAA weather radio on and don't do anything stupid. Granbury, Texas, warming up. Mostly cloudy and 67 degrees right now. In Big Timber, Montana, clouds of 38. Montana man was happy about the weather. He said it helps when it's warmer. 45 degrees and sunny out in 29 Palms, so it got cold again here on the West Coast. Sunny and 42 at Camp Pendleton. Yikes. Was windy. Yeah. Was windy at here yesterday. Winds gusting to 40 miles an hour. There's a local pollen alert in Southern California, as well as a small craft advisory. So there's a lot of that going around. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 66. Marja has cooled off a little bit. Dark, cloudy, and 79 at the home of All Marine Radio. Partly sunny. Normal, I would tell you, morning overcast with 49 degrees. today looking for a high of 69 degrees, no chance of rain, and our small craft advisory in effect. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We'll hear from the one and only Bob Nielsen, and then we'll check the news. And then after that, you'll hear from Ryan Crocker in a speech he made, I want to say, about a year ago. And we continue to study Syria. What should the American role be? Should it be to unass? What happens when we unass is not in our own interest. Yeah. So I don't know that unassing is a solution. And I don't think that more troops, I don't think the military is a solution. The, you know what? And isn't this the kind of shit the United Nations was created to solve? But the United Nations has a fatal flaw. And that is bad actors like Russia have a veto. They don't raid a veto anymore. Okay? That veto should be taken away. They don't rate a veto anymore. Their military, their economy, none of it rates a veto. Yet they have it. All right, we'll take a quick break. Nielsen joins us. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge, I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Cause I'm...
You know, I have to tell you, I don't know why, but I dream now. It's crazy. I've never been so tormented in my sleep in my life. Like, I don't know what happened to me. When I fell asleep and I wake up, but I didn't dream like I dream now. Good God, man, it's awful. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what happened, but somebody took the mute button off dreaming. It's like stupid. So anyway, we'll check the news headlines around the Marine Corps. The top of the fold headline. Marine Corps Times, Marines practice chemical warfare drills in Jordan just after U.S. allies pummel Syrian sites. First of all, that stuff doesn't just fall out of the sky, okay? That stuff is years in the making, scheduled, blah, 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 blah. We're in the region, and we've been in the region for quite some time. I had a son deploy to Jordan and be a part of the training that goes on there. In this case, the article written by Sean Snow, former Marine, thousands of Marines and U.S. troops kicked off a major training exercise Sunday hosted by Jordan that will include civilian evacuation operations and chemical and biological drills, according to the U.S. military, to U.S. military officials, known as Eager Lion. The two-week exercise started on Sunday, coincidentally following U.S., French, and British strikes on three Syrian chemical sites. Quote, planned training evolutions include live fire ranges, fire support coordination exercise, military working dog training, close quarters battle, military operations in urban terrain, CBRN, chemical, biological, nuclear, radiological, blah, 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 blah. All of that from the spokesman for the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit, Captain Natalie Pogmire, one of those two, I would think. So that's going on. The amphibious assault ship Iwo Jima, Hua, is in the eastern Mediterranean now. Along with the 1,200 Marines of the 26 MU. So 26 MUs there and additional United States Army and Navy personnel that are part of the exercise bring the total of about 3,600 troops on the ground in Jordan. So, and then the other thing I would say is a similar story. There was pictures on, I want to say Sunday, of Russia sending more tanks and blah, 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 blah. Okay, given the timing of that, that stuff not related to, anything that happened last week. Not in response to what we did in Syria on Friday. Although it made for a good news headline. Once you looked at it, you were like, "What? Yeah, that's not the way. That's not the way that stuff works. You can't get the tanks there, get them on ships, transit them to be showing up on Sunday when the thing happened on Friday. It doesn't work like that. But nonetheless, it is good news headlines. In a story that has been front page stories on different periodicals around the country. The first black woman nominated to be a brigadier general in the Marine Corps has been nominated. Her name is Colonel Lorna Maylock. She is the deputy director of operations, plans, and policies at Headquarters Marine Corps. And when she's confirmed, she will become the first black woman to don the rank of brigadier general in the Marine Corps. And she's made no public statement. She did a video, evidently in 2016, talking about her experience as a leader in the Marine Corps. Over my 30 years in the Marine Corps, my experience in terms of how women, this is a quote from it, have evolved has been very positive. It's been a steady rise. I'm very, very hopeful. So good luck to her. And again, I will tell you this, not surprising. I mean, it's simply the march of, it's simply the march of time. But here's a short clip from the video that she made. And really, it's the scrutiny that she will receive that's probably not fair to her. But nonetheless, it is what it is.
For me, the ability to go, okay, let's think back on what the Marine Corps has done for you, and if you can talk about that in some fashion, and it provides value to somebody else, then maybe it's a conversation that's worth having. It's always been about capability. That's what's so great about where we are right now as a service and as a corps. Over my 30 years in the Marine Corps, my experience is, in terms of how women have evolved, has been very positive. Sarah Deal, the first female aviator, she was supposed to be an air traffic controller over here when I was a lieutenant. And when the Marine Corps opened aviation to women, Sarah made that jump, and I was able to serve with her in Iraq during the first Iraq War. Phenomenal woman. My experience, all the women I've worked with are phenomenal, but so are all the men, right? Because we are pretty selective. I mean, we are a meritocracy in the Marine Corps. We look for talent. I think it's been the trajectory since I came in the Marine Corps in terms of how we think about women, a woman's contribution to the service. It's been a steady rise. I'm very, very hopeful with all the things that are going on right now that we are very, very deliberate and responsible. We understand war fighting, and we're going to get it right. We're going to figure out, how do we do this right? We take care of our warfighting function, and we excel at that. And whatever we do in terms of adding women's capability will be additive. And I think we're in a good place.
Good luck to her. Marine Corps Colonel Lorna Maylock. So that is in the news today. Another thing that is in the news, much discussion about the whole issue of war powers and does the president have the right to do the things that he does. So I think in largely ceremonial vein, because it won't go anywhere given where we are relative to the next election, this article with the headline, U.S. Senators Introduce New War Authorization with No Expiration Date. The proposed bill would cover all terrorist groups the U.S. is currently fighting, and it would not restrict the president from taking immediate action against enemies and other global hotspots. The new proposal, which advances a congressional debate about America's ongoing conflicts around the world and the 17-year-old war on terrorism, comes as Congress is asking questions about Donald Trump's strike in Syria last week. The war authorization negotiations by Senator Bob Corker, no fan of the president, Tim Kaine, he was on the Democratic ticket with Hillary Clinton, was released on Monday. Its co-sponsors include Senator Chris Coons, Democrat from Delaware, Jeff Flake. He's a Trump hater, as we all know. So, anyway, not sure that it'll go anywhere, but nonetheless, that in the news today. Also, kind of a historical story that's in the news. Researchers mark the death of Pearl Harbor mastermind Yamamoto. If you're any fan of World War II history and Pearl Harbor, you know who Admiral Yamamoto was. In a book entitled Operation Vengeance, talks about the ambush of Yamamoto. Evidently, we had cracked Japanese signal intelligence and knew where he was going to be flying, and his aircraft was shot down. The story says the big break for the U.S. came in April of 1943 when Navy codebreakers discovered that Yamamoto planned to tour bases in the areas of the Solomon Islands still held by Japanese forces. The Admiral tour was scheduled for April 18th, which was 5 days away from the time the code was cracked. U.S. military officials quickly approved an air mission to intercept the Admiral's plane and shoot it down. The task fell to a squadron of Army Air Force P-38 Lightnings based on Guadalcanal in the Solomons. After the pilots closely reviewed Yamamoto's flight plan, 16 P-38s flew 400 miles west, spotted two enemy bombers near Bougainville. While some of the P-38s engaged Yamamoto's fighter escorts, the other American airplanes attacked the two bombers. One slammed into the jungle while another crashed offshore. Yamamoto, 59, was among 11 men who died in the plane that crashed on land. Japanese troops recovered Yamamoto's body, cremated it, and sent his ashes back to Japan. But Japan didn't officially announce Yamamoto's death until a week later, saying he died aboard a warplane while directing a general strategy on the front line, according to the Associated Press story of the announcement from Tokyo. Yamamoto remains a revered figure in Japan, where a museum was established in his honor in his hometown of Nagoya. Artifacts on display include the left wing from Yamamoto's aircraft. Museum officials say an annual memorial event will be held Wednesday morning at nearby Yamamoto Memorial Park, where the house which he was born once stood. So, a little piece of history there, for those of you who like history. We've discussed the issue of transgender troops serving, and this should come as no surprise. A U.S. judge in Seattle has ordered President Donald Trump not to ban transgender troops from serving in the military, saying it's unclear whether recent changes to his administration's policy are constitutional. U.S. District Judge Marsha Peachman, P-E-C-H-M-A-N, was one of four judges nationwide who blocked Trump late last year from overturning an Obama-era directive allowing transgender troops to serve openly. The Justice Department asked her to dissolve that ruling, citing changes that would allow transgender troops to serve in limited cases. Because the changes were announced just last month, the sides had not had time to argue whether the policy is discriminatory or whether the military is entitled to set its own policy, given its expertise in what's needed for national defense, Peachman said in an order on Friday. She told the parties to prepare for a trial. Quote, because transgender people have long been subjected to systematic oppression and forced to live in silence, they are a protected class. Therefore, any attempt to exclude them from military service will be looked at with the highest level of care. She also said the government must show that the ban, quote, was sincerely motivated by compelling interest rather than by prejudice or stereotype, and that is narrowly tailored to achieve those interests. So, anyway, not one bit of that unexpected. So, the transgender policy of the Department of Defense, which in my opinion is absolutely appropriate, in effect. It's the same ban that exists if you have knee injury or you're non-deployable, right? Can't serve, right? You're not a widget. So, and that's what we hired you to be, is a widget. A story that was in the news, I don't even know how long ago. It's amazing how I'm gonna sound really old here, but it's amazing how quickly time passes. Okinawa-based Marine sentenced to 4 years in prison and hard labor over a drunk driving death. After pleading guilty last month to the drunk driving death of a 16-year-old Japanese man, Lance Corporal Nicholas James McLean was sentenced Wednesday to 4 years in prison with hard labor. The 22-year-old Marine appeared before a three-judge panel in the Naha District Court for sentencing in the head-on collision that killed Hidemasa Tiara, according to Stars and Stripes. His blood alcohol content was three times Japan's legal limit when it was tested 4 hours after the incident. Japan's legal limit is 0.03. So 4 hours after the event, it was 0.09. The Okinawa-based Marine sustained only minor injuries from the crash, while Tiara died at the hospital from bleeding and chest wounds. At his March 19th trial, where James McLean pled guilty, he called his actions stupid. Quote, "I know his family will never forgive me, and I will never forgive myself. All I can say is that I'm sorry." You know, the crazy part of that story was that, he was drunk when he went and got the vehicle, when he got his trip ticket, when he did all of that. And so it doesn't speak well of the supervisory aspect of what's going on in Okinawa. So, again, and he'll pay for it. And the Japanese, they're not too lenient in terms of, oh, he'll serve a year and he'll be out. It doesn't work like that in Japan. If it says 4 years, plan on being there for 4 years. If it says hard labor, yeah. Plan on learning what back-breaking hard labor is. So, sad. Sad, 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 sad. Okay, top five stories in the early bird today are, this story honestly is amazing. Air Force B-52s shatter Vietnam-era records during two-year ISIS deployment. So it's a story really about the American B-52 and its longevity. More than four decades ago, the Air Force's iconic B-52 Stratofortresses set records as it pounded North Vietnamese targets during Operation Linebacker 2. But during its recently concluded two-year deployment to the Middle East to fight the Islamic State and the Taliban, the big, ugly, fat fellow known as the Buff smashed through even those milestones. According to an April 12th release from Air Force Central Command, the 23rd Bomb Squadron from Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota last June launched its 400th consecutive B-52 mission without a delay due to maintenance issues. So congratulations to them. Two B-1 bombers, Lancer types, arrived on March 31 to replace the departing B-52s. So, well done. That's a lot of hours. The B-52, man, that thing's a beast. When I was on the Ranger, they attacked us as part of a ready exercise we were doing. And I wound up, for whatever reason, I wanted to see us get attacked by B-52. So I went up to the, on the island of the aircraft carrier. So I went up to the signal bridge, cause I could go anywhere I wanted. That's right, because I was the XO of the Marine Detachment. So I went up there, and I don't know, for whatever reason, it seemed like they got from the horizon to the ship extremely, extremely fast. And they're huge. You know, you're so, you know, dealing with, you know, Navy Air and Marine Air, you're dealing, you know, A6s, you know, F-14 is a big aircraft compared to the F-18. But the B-52, that thing's monstrosity size. And they were flying low. They could not have been more than a couple hundred feet off the water when they came over the horizon. And they were over the horizon, they were over the ship, and they were on, you know, on the other side of the horizon. I don't know. It seemed really quick. I was standing there. I was like, holy smokes. Those are big, and that was fast. All right, so B-52s. Pack a load, too, when they come. Number two story in the early bird is U.S. senators introduced new war authorization with no expiration date. Okay, that's largely a forum for them to make statements, I would think. And so it goes. Yeah, they've got to do something while they do nothing. Okay, so it's mutually concluded that nothing, no other legislation will pass prior to the election. And, so they've got to do something. Hearings on stuff, making statements, bloviating, blah, 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 blah. You know, politics. Interesting story from Bloomberg is the number three story. Goodbye, DMZ. What an end to the Korean War would mean. One, what is the DMZ? Two, where will the talks place take place? Good question. What else is there in the DMZ? Answer, wildlife. The snaking 250-kilometer swath of land has remained untouched by humans, leaving what National Geographic magazine once described as a haven for some of the most endangered animals in Asia, including black bears, musk deer, and rare birds and plants. What's on either side of the DMZ? Lots of troops and artillery weapons. North Korea has spent decades concealing hundreds of artillery batteries along the frontier that could wreak havoc on South Korea's capital of Seoul, home of half the country's 51 million people. Seoul lies about 60 kilometers to the south. What would happen to the DMZ? If returned to its original state, the zone would presumably cease to exist and the military demarcation line would become the border. Troops would be pulled back along with the artillery and other weapons there. Next question. When did the countries last come close to peace? At the 2007 summit between President Moo Hyun and Kim Jong-il in Pyongyang, the side settled on dozens of agreements aimed at supporting North Korea's economy and recommitted to a declaration made at a summit in the year 2000, the first between leaders of North and South Korea, that the two sides would seek peaceful reunification. I don't see the reunification piece of it. How does it reunify in anything other than a capitalistic state, given the nature of South Korea's economy? So, why not peacefully coexist on the peninsula? You could have a communist state and a free state. What would that mean? Could you have an open border? Or would North Korea shortly empty into South Korea? I don't think you have to be a genius to figure that one out. Yeah, the challenges for North Korea. So, anyway, interesting article. That's number three. Number four, Russia steps up hacking, spurring a rare U.S.-UK warning on its risk. This has been all over the news today and yesterday. You started seeing it, Sunday evening? So, threat to attack network routers has been cited by officials. make sure your router software is current. You know, what's interesting is when you see analysis of most of these attacks, these things are known threats and security. If you keep your security up to date, you don't have an you tend not to have an issue. All right, and what happens is when somebody's IT person is not up to snuff, and they don't have their patches up to date relative to software, these things are exploited and attacked. Here's a little bit from, this is Bloomberg.
Russia is stepping up its efforts to hack U.S. and U.K. companies and government agencies, according to a joint statement by the two countries. Officials from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and Britain's National Cybersecurity Center released an unprecedented warning on Monday. The alert said Russian state-sponsored actors are using compromised routers to support espionage and potentially lay a foundation for future offensive operations. They advised companies and individuals to make sure their router software is up to date and its password is secure. The Kremlin has repeatedly denied using cyber weapons.
Right. Okay, everybody, how do you know the Russians are lying? Because their lips are moving, okay? So, anyway, our relationship with Russia. And again, make no mistake about it. What I find most interesting is this course is being deliberately charted by one guy, and that is Vladimir Putin. The course of action that Russia is pursuing of confrontation certainly doesn't benefit his country, because his country is more isolated. So whatever economic development would occur, you know, wanes because of strained ties between Russia and everybody else. So who does that benefit? Why would you pursue such a course of action? You would do that because it was in your best interest to isolate Russia. Well, whose interest is that in? That is in the interest of Vladimir Putin and the people that run Russia. It's their dictatorship. It's their little fiefdom. So it needs to be isolated, because anytime you flirt with economic integration with the West, you are gonna lose your dictatorship. And he learned those lessons watching the way Muammar Gaddafi was drugged through the street and whatnot. And he's not having it on his watch. He is not going to be drugged through the street. Because, I mean, honestly, who does it benefit? It certainly doesn't benefit the Russian people. So, anyway. There's one more story. The Pentagon updates its Jedi Cloud solicitation. This is kind of an interesting story. The Department of Defense has released an update to its draft request for proposals on the sweeping joint enterprise defense infrastructure cloud contract, worth potentially billions over the next decade, that includes responses to industry questions and comments on the solicitation. The Pentagon issued the first draft request for proposal on March 7, 2018, after a public industry day where DoD officials emphasized the widespread changes and improvements they hope to bring about through the Jedi Cloud. The updated versions of the request for proposal includes revised requirements and a statement of objectives for the contract, as well as answers to industry feedback on the first draft. The question and answer is an 81-page document addressing 1,030 items ranging from issues of identity management to cybersecurity. All our shit in a cloud, can you imagine that? Wait till the Russians hack it. Maybe they'll download it into Russia. We'll be paying them to go ahead and send us our information, please. All right, let me take another break. We'll come back. There's a few more stories I want to get to. You'll hear from Ryan Crocker as we go ahead and talk a little bit about Syria, the complexity of the issue, and how the United States gets its arms around it or do we simply walk away from it? More of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.